And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, undefeated here and declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Michigan. We have a guest, Gary Eisen. Gary, am I saying it right? Eisen?
Yes, you are. It's Eisen, and it's short for like Eisenhower, Eisenstein. But when my great-grandpa came over on the boat in 1857, they said, you got to get rid of half your name, so now we're just Eisen.
That's how they do it. Okay. Gary is a self-reliant, independent thinking, common sense conservative. He believes in the Constitution, capitalism, fiscal responsibility, limited government, and rugged individualism. Gary will use his leadership and hardworking yes. values to promote social and economic growth in both St. Clair County and Michigan. As a state representative, he will put the people first and not become just another go-with-the-flow politician. Now, you're a state... Are you a candidate, or you're a current state representative for Michigan State?
I'm in my first term. I'm up for re-election.
So, okay. You're the owner of Eisen, Inc., a welding and fabricating business, so he gets his, hands of working. Gary is also the owner of Michigan Personal Protection Training offering classes and seventh you're a black belt, American Warrior Martial Arts. You're a competitive shooter, and... Man, you'd like a man. Well, we got a man in the freaking legislator. How often does that happen? Okay. That's my first question. When you're talking to the legislature and you're there, how many you're representative in the Senate? How many are in the Senate? How many are in the House of Representatives?
In the Senate, there's 38, and the Republican Party is the majority right now in the Senate. And in the House, there's 110 of us. And we hold the majority by having 58 seats. And so that's why, us and the governor don't get along that good, because she has to go through both branches that are both Republican majority.
Yeah, she's able to get away with a bunch of stuff.
Yes, she can, because she was using some powers that she misinterpreted and that we kept trying to correct. And there was a basis there to say, well, show me where it says I can't do this. So we had to do the lawsuits and the, all that stuff to do it legally, because there's really no other way of going around it except for through the legal channels. And we won 3 court hearings against her, and which proved out to be pretty good. But still, she's using the DHHS to still implement what she calls epidemic orders now instead of executive orders, and that basically deals with gathering and face masks and stuff for schools and stuff like that. So there's probably a bunch of lawsuits already started against that. So, but it's a slow process. But we did manage to win three court rulings and right up to the Supreme Court. So
okay, now this is what I remember. There was the lawsuit that challenged the use of the emergency law that she was using, and the Supreme Court came back 7-0 against her use of that, said you're not using it right. And then they had a ruling 4-3 that against the law itself, that it was unconstitutional to the Michigan State Constitution. What was the third lawsuit?
Well, the third one was just, it was a to reconfirm the legal stuff. It's called like the questions, the I know what the third one was. Sorry, was to it was about the voting stuff, where they get the voting 14 days after and all that. So we won that court case too, where we can, you know, she implemented where you can count ballots up to 14 days after.
Yeah, of course.
So we got a ruling.
I mean, are you guys seeing how obvious this is corrupt? I mean, yeah. Tell me about the legislature. Okay, how many did you say was in the Senate, and how many in the House?
We have 38 senators, and we have 110 representatives. And the senators are on 4-year terms. We are on 2-year terms.
Okay.
They get to get 2 terms, and we get to have 3 terms.
Okay. Now, how is it? So there is a term limit. Okay. So how is it? I'd say, you know, regardless of R's and D's, how's the mindset? Are they kind of had their fill of Whitmer, or are they just like, you know, some of them are hardcore Democrat? We got to have a socialist society. I mean, you know, what are you looking at in the legislature?
Well, the Republican Party, I'm just going to say, I know you said no R's and D's, but you're broken up into like 2 basic categories. You have your guys that are like, you know, like farther right, and then you have your guys that are right of middle. Okay, on the Democrat side, it's broke up into more of like, I think more of like 5 different groups, because you have, your areas are so different. You have what we call your Detroit Democrats that they think a certain way, and then you got your suburban Democrats a certain way, and then you have more of your liberals, okay? And they have like 5 different groups, give or take, that input into theirs, and we're basically 2. So, but what I found with the 2 groups is that on the Republican side, we have farmers, we have a welder like me, we've got police officers, we've got teachers, we got a lawyer, we've got a bail bondmen. Our side is such a diverse group of people that when we input on stuff, we get viewpoints from all kinds of people. We're on the Democrat side, a lot of what you see are lawyers, teachers, and community volunteers. So, you know, we're getting input from maybe 20 different classes of people. They're more on what I see anyway is about 3 different classes. So you know, when we're looking at stuff, we're looking at it from a bigger, broader sense than I would say the Democrats do.
Well, what's the percentage? You know, you have Republicans, Democrats. What are you looking at? How much do you control each house?
We have right now, I think we have 58 Republicans in the House. You have to have 56 to control. And we're hoping, we're fighting like crazy to keep that, so that we can keep that. You gotta be at that 56 threshold so that you keep majority, and that basically gives us the gavel. And if people don't understand what that means we control what bills come to the floor, we control the votes, we control the money, we control the budget. And if we lose that, basically what you give is the governor control of the budget and the checkbook. And then you just really got to hang on to your butt on that one. So, and that, it's kind of scary.
Well, how popular is the governor in the legislature? I mean,
on our side, it's more of a tolerating because we have to work with her. And on the other side, they're broke up into groups. Some people just love her and think that she can do no wrong. And other people question her. Some of the Dems, I call them, they're more of the moderate Dems that, you know, if only about 2 or 3 thought process from being a Republican. But, you know, if it wasn't for unions and abortions, they would probably be a Republican. But they question what she does, and they push back on certain things, especially on the auto insurance. They had a pushback, but for the most part, they're pretty much on board, and they pretty much, you have to kind of follow her lead. And, you know, it's just part of the game they play there. So.
Okay, so when this whatever the heck this thing was, the, you know, Cornholio, whatever the heck, when that happened, were you surprised at how quickly it, you know, descended into, you know, mandates from the governor's office? Was there a plan there? What was your input?
People don't understand that there was no playbook on this. There was nothing that we could look back at history and say.
Okay, hold on. We're going into break here. I don't know if you can hear the music, but we'll be right back here with Representative Gary Eisen. You know, a man. You know, we're going to talk about that, too. I mean, you know, can we just have men and women that are of independent mind that just want to be left alone? And how's Michigan doing? From the outside, it doesn't look that great. We'll find out when we come back.
from the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the Crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Michigan State Representative from the 81st District in Michigan, Gary Eisen. You know, man, I want to talk about that very thing right there.
Sure.
This is what I'm seeing is that society, I'm 59, born in 61, graduated high school 79, you know, I'm 59 years old, and I'm witnessing that there is there's not men anymore. I mean, you know, when you're talking about representatives that have businesses and that are working hard and understand the issue, I mean, without getting too personal and naming names, unless you want to, but I mean, do you feel that there's people that they couldn't fight themselves out of a wet paper bag? They get there, they're just afraid. They need, you know, Mommy Whittemer to take care of them or something. What are you dealing with?
good call. Yes. There's this thing called alpha male. Have you heard of it? You know, the guy that wants the guy that wants to be a guy. And there are a few in the house that are just what I consider just softer, gentler men.
Afraider.
So, and that's.
Well, what about the women? I mean, you know, the women.
I tell you right now, you know, I can't really use bad words, but the women, some of the women in the caucus on my side have bigger, you know what, than the men's have.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and most of the women in our caucus are packing. Okay. They don't want to leave their personal protection always up to somebody else. Like I don't believe in that. You gotta understand, I'm a baby boomer. I'm 65. Okay. I still teach martial arts twice a week. I still work at my welding shop. I do. I've been doing gun classes like crazy because of what's been going on, and I've been called in Lansing that I'm one of the few brutally honest persons there, because I see it. I don't like it. I say so. I don't try to beat around the bush, you know, and sugarcoat everything. It's just too much of that going on.
Well, what's the future of Michigan? What do you think? I mean, you got what's going on now, and how the perception of Michigan from outside, you know, is all the governor and her crap. And I'm just, you know, that's why we spend, you know, some time in Michigan helping with the Love Bus and such. And Rick Kerp is a big fan of yours. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, the people that wanted to express themselves did. But is it the majority? And we started up in Upper Michigan, you know, because I just figured you'd have, like, you know, real Michigan people up there, you know. But is it just the municipalities that are this way, or is the whole state gone soft, or is it resurging? Was it the education system? Help me out here. I don't understand what happened.
Well, one thing that's happened for sure is that people have to stop trusting the government for all their needs, okay? And that's the biggest problem. You have to become more self-reliant and rely on yourself. I don't see it there, okay? I mean, right now, you know, if something happens, you know, I could live comfortably by myself and my family for 6 to 7 months, and I'm fully stocked, okay? People don't understand the need to be self-reliant. Now, yes, the upper part of Michigan, let's just say mid-Michigan up, a lot of them guys are up there, they're good old boys, okay? And they know how to take care of themselves. And as you work your way south, you're just in more of an urban area. The mindset is different. Now, not the case for everyone, but you just see that even in my martial art class I teach, how the younger kids don't climb trees. They don't skin their knees. They don't run around looking for frogs, okay? There's just this lack of just boys being boys and girls being girls. And I just, as a baby boomer, you're a baby boomer yourself, I was growing up that if someone bullied you, you took it into your own hands. If I went home and told my dad, gee, some guy hit me at school, he'd say, so? Deal with it, okay? And today, you have too many helicopter parents that do everything for their kids, and the kids have to grow up. And you know, I grew up, if I took care of it. I said, I got bullied a little bit in school. You know what I did? I learned how to fight, okay? And I said, you know what? If you're gonna bully me now, you're gonna have your hands full, okay? You might beat me up, but boy, you're gonna look like you lost the war too. And that's the mindset I had, is that I'm no longer going to put up with it, so I'll do something about it. One of my first martial art instructors told me that you got to go through life, don't kiss anybody's ass or suck up to anybody, okay? It's a sign of weakness. And they'll just use that against you later. And in Lansing, that's all I see is people kissing everybody's butt. And it's pathetic, okay? And I don't do that. And
well, so, you know, has this been a campaign theme for you? Is this why you got elected? People knew, you know, as being a man, get you votes? I mean, I guess you got elected, well, but I mean, you know, that's not always the case. I got to be more woke.
Okay, but here's the deal. Where do you live? Now, my message in Wayne County wouldn't resonate. My message in St. Clair County resonates. My message in Lapeer County, Huron County, okay, where you've got more rural, hardworking people, they understand where I'm coming from. I started my business when I was 21. I bucked the system. I said, I don't want to work for somebody anymore, so I bought a welder, I threw it in the back of the truck, and I worked oil fields around Michigan, okay? So, you know, it just, at 21, I started the business, got married, and bought a house at 23 years old, okay? Now, kids are still living at home in their 40s, so it's the mindset. It's the mindset of, I guess it's a little bit of martial arts, a little bit of that baby boomer. It's a little bit about your dad smacking you around, making sure you knew the difference between right and wrong, and hopefully you picked right. And just there's a lot of lack of that going on because we have to be a softer, gentler, political correct society. And I tell you what, being political correct is what really gets you in trouble, you know, and I'm just not like that. And like I said, my message resonates with my constituents.
Well, where's it going? After all this, you know, this pandemic stuff, you know, I'm wondering, you know, where is it going now? Are people starting to realize they need to get more self-reliant, that, you know, the government, oh, you got to give us more power so then we'll take care of you, pinky swear. I mean, are they believing in government? The faith in government has dropped here? Or what are you seeing?
Okay. How many people do you think right now have extra toilet paper in their house?
Probably quite a few.
Okay. You know what? A lesson taught, lesson learned there, okay? So people are looking at that, and they got caught with literally their pants down, not being able to go to the store, not being able to do this, not being able to do this. So everybody I know now has got a few more cans of soup on the shelf, okay? So I think it's a lesson learned here that, you know, I tell people, the government tells you have, what, 72 days of resources in your house. I say you look like more like, not 72 days, but like 72 weeks. And I just think the awareness level went up quite a bit.
Yeah.
Look at what happened with the riots and the protesting and all that. All of a sudden, you can't find a box of ammo on the shelves. When you know that there's a governor that hates guns, and you have a possible president.
You know, we're going to the break again. When we come back, I want to talk about that very thing. You know, the unrest. You know, it's sure. Michigan. I mean, you know, Michigan used to be wealthy in auto manufacturing, manufacturing, and I'm where are we going now? What's the future? And what about the general election? You know, with Trump, Biden, what are the people thinking there? We'll find out. Representative Eisen, when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
With Michigan Representative Gary Eisen. You know, I have a listener and an activist in Missouri that his wife, get the vaccine or lose your job. And she chose to, I'm not doing it. And I'm seeing that this is going to be a decision a lot of people are going to have to make in a lot of places. What's going on in Michigan, Gary?
Well, I get a lot of phone calls on that. And I'm, when I was a kid, I had, three vaccines. And somehow I managed to live till 65. My son's facing the same question. You know, he works for a big company and basically works from home now. And this is before he can come back. He's going to have to get a vaccine. He's at odds right now. I've got all kinds of people calling me, and I say, if you don't want it, don't get it. I mean, if you have a firm belief in not wanting it, then how can they force you? Now, that's just my opinion. Right now, in Lansing, they're not forcing us. They wanted us to get tested. I didn't want to get tested, so I didn't. So I would say the majority of the state does not want to be told to get a vaccine. Now, here's the deal. What if they say, we are not going to open up the state again until everybody complies and she's going to lock us down? And she's already threatening that. She says, well, after the election, depending how it goes, we're probably going to have to go back to phase three. Well, why would the election matter about phase three? Okay. Because if Joe Biden doesn't win, I think the mindset is, well, I'm going to punish you and go back to phase three. That's just my opinion. But
do you guys have recall in Michigan?
Well, you can, but it's next to impossible. We do have petitions out now for a recall, but it's very, very difficult. We had a repeal of the act, okay, but she's up in 2 years. So the best thing to do is to try to get through these 2 years, and she's got the bar set pretty low, in my opinion, for someone to come in and basically dethrone. But in the meantime, there's still going to be a lot of lawsuits filed for this and that, and I know the virus is there, and I have friends who had it, and they all recovered with no big deal. I had a friend whose sister died from it, but she was already on a ventilator, and that's when the governor put all those active COVID-19 people in the nursing homes. So that didn't go over too good. There's a lot of fallout from that. As far as the vaccine goes, I say if you think it's going to work and want it, you get it. If you don't want it, don't get it. Jails in Michigan are not big enough to hold all of us. So, but if what do you do if your employer makes you do it? I don't know. That's a personal decision. So as of right now, I personally don't want to get it because I don't have a spleen, okay? I had to get my spleen out a couple of years. I had 2 life-saving surgeries, okay? So if I didn't have these surgeries, I would have died. So I'm already bucking the system on that. So, but I just don't feel comfortable getting that vaccine when my spleen is not in my body right now.
Yeah, no, so. I'm hip. That's definitely a concern. My thing is, I'm not anti-vax as much as I'm anti-force me to take a vaccine. I mean, I don't want any, but you want to do it, peace out. I think you're, injecting into yourself the very thing you don't want, but I mean, whatever. It's freedom's the answer, what's the question? I need to have the options, but the schools, everything that I see, I have 12 grandchildren, 4 kids, I'm in. I got some skin in this game, and six more of them just said, we're not going back to school because they knew it was just going to be a Marxist indoctrination of Black Lives Matter more than you kind of whatever the hell. And they just said, we're good. And they just stopped. What's it like education system in Michigan? Are a lot of people just staying home?
Well, yes and no. Again, depending where you live, if you're in a more rural area or if you're in these big cities, because each county has different school districts, and the school districts make the rules, all right? So go back face-to-face, 10 miles away, another school district says, we're not going back face-to-face. It's proven that age first through fifth grade is next to impossible to learn online. Okay, it's just, it's, kids don't learn. So that is a fact. So face-to-face is the best way to learn. Now, I do know some families here in my county that basically just said, heck with it, we're just going to homeschool until we see what happens. Now, that is an option, all right? Now, the public school system is freaking out because the more kids that come out of the system, less money they get.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just, somewhere along the line, they just got to get a handle on this. Now, you got to understand, this virus has a 98.9% recovery rate. So,
now, what do you think it really was? What they did this because of what? What was the science? I mean, you know, it's, what do you think?
Well, I think the virus is real. I'm not denying that. But I think the approach to it was scare tactics. I think basically because we didn't know what to do, so we just kept throwing stuff at it and seeing what would stick. We realize now that a lot of the stuff we did was didn't need to be done. Maybe we could have done some things better. Maybe, you know, in the future we'll know more. But every day you watch the news and it's like, okay, now we know that you got to have this or this or that, okay? I listen to experts on both sides, testimonies in Lansing, okay? One doctor says the masks really aren't that useful unless you have medical grade and you change them every 2 hours. You know, and then the guy, same guy goes, you got to stand an arm's length away from somebody and you got to talk to them for 15 minutes and absorb enough of those airborne particles in your nose to get the disease. You can't really get it in your mouth. See? And then another person says you can only get it in your eye. Then on the other side, you have doctors saying, well, we want you to wear goggles and everything. And I go, well, who the heck do you believe? They're both supposed to be experts in the same system here. But it's very confusing. And so what do? You kill the economy to save people, or do you kill people to save the economy? I don't know. To me, you got to have equal. The economy, you got to have a healthy economy, healthy people. Because if you got all kinds of healthy people, if they don't have no place to go and work, they're just going to end up getting sick.
You know, it's easier for me. I look at it as people always act in what they perceive to be their own self-interest, and they should have the freedom to do so. You know, it's called freedom. You know, I hate this cookie cutter, you have to, you can't thing. Whenever I want to, you know, move to a state or a community, I got three questions. What do I have to do? What am I prevented from doing? And what's your conflict resolution? And so it's in Michigan, when I go to open a business or I want to move here or build on my land, if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land, you know, how free do you think Michigan is?
From 1 to 10, 5.
Really? What is it you have to do?
I've been in business 44 years. Okay, that is like next to impossible. Usually the average business lasts between 5 and 7 years in Michigan before, you know, it's just, they can't handle it, can't handle the regulations, taxes. It depends on what county you live in, too, because it's regulated by county. So some of it's regulated by county, not everything. But Michigan is a tough state to get going in. But we do have a lot of great businesses, a lot of entrepreneurs, and obviously we have the auto industry that's big in Michigan, and we have a lot of other stuff too. So you got to understand, Michigan could be self-reliant if we wanted to be. We have natural gas, we got oil, we got iron ore, we got aluminum deposits, we got copper, we could basically be our own country if we wanted to.
Yeah, you got the Great Lakes, you got shipping, you got ports, you got.
I mean, we have international borders. We have a natural barricade around us. In reality, Michigan is very self-reliant if they wanted to be. You got to understand, back in the early 80s, when I was working oil wells, Michigan had a lot of oil, especially in my area.
Oil, too. We're going into break again, Gary. We'll be right back, you know, in 4 minutes, and we'll be talking to Gary about why he ran. Why is he continuing to run? What's he running for? What's he running against? What's going to happen this election cycle before, after? I don't know. Representative Gary Eisen from District 81.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
They don't need no stinking roads. Oh, man, flying cars. You know, that's one thing to ask the representative. You know, I'm wondering what we're looking at for, you know, the future and technology and the freedom to do what you want. And, you know, you're an advocate of people being able to not have to have a permission slip from they, them, those. I mean, this next election cycle is kind of deregulation, you know, more self-sufficiency. And it seems like the government officials want to make us more dependent, and we need another program, and you're not doing it right. We need more taxes, and we shut down the schools, but we got bond overrides. And I mean, it's just, when does it stop? Are we going towards a deregulation era or not, Gary?
There's some things that we've been working on in Lansing to deregulate some stuff, but for the most part, you're always looking at how, you know, as a policymaker, I'm on all my committees are policy, so we're looking at things to make basically your life better, too, okay, like taking away some of the restrictions on like, having traffic signs everywhere, okay, and restrictions on, you know, hunting and stuff, but I tell you what, that government agencies are just so massive, okay, like MDOT, DNR, DHSS, and they're just so massive. And you got to understand something. I'm only there for 6 years. So, you know, if I'm giving a government agency a hard time because I want to get questions and answers and why we're doing this and why we're doing that, okay, they'll just look at me and say, we'll just outweigh you. Okay, you'll be gone in 6 years. That's where term limits suck in Michigan, okay? Yeah. Because as soon as I get into where I can get my fight face on, getting all trained to fight, ready to go and do battle with these agencies, I'm gone, okay? And so then they get another rookie in, and depending on how you can manipulate this young guy, okay, I'm 65. We have legislators in there who are 23, okay, who still live at home with mom and dad making decisions for us,
yeah.
Okay? It's I am what they call dangerous legislator because I don't care. Okay, you could fire me tomorrow. I don't care. I don't need that lobbyist money. I don't need any of that crap. Okay, so I can look at things, and I'm treated as an adult over there over some of these younger guys. Well, if you wave a $100 bill in front of them, they'll do anything you say. So you the older group, there's about 8 or 9 of us that are over 50 there, and we're the guys that are like sometimes the adults in the room, like we're going, oh my God, you're worried about stuff like this? This makes no sense, okay? And being in business all these years, you know how to cut through the crap. And just, let's just, you know, that's what I'm finding is that I'm treated differently because of my age and my background. And like what you said, I'm kind of a man, all right? Then you get some of these wimps. That I'd like to refer to them as.
Well, based on what? Why are they wimps? What is
well,
it?
Well, they don't know any better. Their mom and dad.
It's reinforced that they be that way. They're doing the right thing and being a wimp or something.
They need to get their ass kicked once in a while and get back up and then continue the fight and not call for mom and dad to bail you out. All right. Whereas there's a group of us over there that. We've been through that. We know what it's like to get knocked down. If you stay down, we'll see on you. Get back up. Would you go into a fight, I mean, even knowing you might get beat up, but you're just going to give that guy a hell of a battle? That's what I wanted to do with the governor. Even though we can't beat her on these things, I want to punch her a few times just to let her know that we're there, in the sense of the word, not physically, but to throw something there and say, hey, we're still here, okay? And I want to define her as a governor that, you know, give her stuff to veto, because that defines her for the next race. Meaning if she's going to veto all the gun stuff, I got like 8 or 9 gun bills in there to loosen up stuff, okay? Freedoms and gun-free zones and liability and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? She's going to veto them all. But we need to get them on her desk so that she does veto them, so that in the next election we say, man, she's not a gun-friendly governor.
Let's talk about that. You know, the atmosphere for the next election is going to be playing out in this election. You know, I've been traveling across the country in the Love Bus Liberty Tour, and you're in rural area. Hell, even on the highway, I see nothing but Trump signs and flags and stuff everywhere. So I don't know. Is Michigan have a threat of going for Biden or not? What do you think?
Well, It's the area. Okay, what sucks in Michigan is that you can get like three cities and they determine the outcome of the whole state, which isn't fair. Okay, if you went county by county in Michigan, you'd have about over 90% of the counties be red, be Republican conservative. But because the population consists of mostly southeastern Michigan, the population, okay, democracy, you know, mob rules, they get to say so. But the majority of Michigan is pretty conservative, but they don't have the numbers in those areas. So last time Trump won by 10,000 votes in Michigan, he's coming on Tuesday to Lansing for a big rally. But if you look at the rallies themselves, he's drawn thousands. And I watched one on TV the other day with the Vice President Harris, or future maybe. He said like 25 people, okay? So if you look at that, Michigan's doing pretty good. We're pretty Trump. Yeah, and you're right. There's Trump signs everywhere. So.
Well, are you worried about election fraud? You know, that was my focus.
Yes.
I know election, it's a long story. Been all the way in the Ninth Circuit, argued 44 election laws in Arizona. I've been a butthead about it. And I know exactly how they're doing it. And I'm just going, yep, it's all this early mail-in, early counting, doing whatever, where we need to put resources. I got all kinds of stories. Michigan, yep. Is it a problem?
We don't know yet, but I have a feeling it will be. I decided to vote in person this year. Because of my age, I can do, you know, I can do the senior citizen thing, but I'm going to go and vote in person. And I want to put my ballot in that machine, and I want to see the number says I voted, right? Because
well, that doesn't make me
I just
any
don't trust
either.
It. So I don't know, you know, but let's hope it doesn't, because we've been voting for a long time. We know how to do it. Now, all of a sudden, everybody forgot. Okay.
Well,
it doesn't make
any
sense.
What about the county level? I mean, I'm seeing that this has been, since the mid-90s, of being an activist on this stuff, that it kind of is a county thing. You know, they've been going after the counties to be able to, because they're like, I don't know how it is in Michigan, but generally they're, you know, political subdivisions of the state. And that's where all the administration and the rules, and they get a Supreme Court decision against them. But you got some county guy going, yeah, but your restaurant still has to require masks and blah, 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 blah. You know, after that ruling, do you still have to have masks or not?
Yes. And you can't have gatherings. I mean, yes, it's county level for voting. It's county level for this. The 1970 Act gave authority to the county level health people and the state. So our actual county person could come in, and if she thinks it's necessary, she could lock us down if she wanted to. It wouldn't be that wise to do that, but she could.
Okay, now, is
yes,
there county?
We still have masks. We still have gatherings of 110 people or less. It's not right. So
is there an effort to take over the counties again? Is there something?
Well, right now we have actually a bill in there that actually wants you to isolate the counties instead of doing the zones, because she would have my county, which is very rural, lumped in with Macomb and Wayne, which is very urban. And so we don't play by the same rules. We don't have the same population. So, you know, what's good for Wayne County is not good for St. Clair County. So we're trying to break it up per county and let the counties make decisions what's on their own personal needs, instead of saying what's good for this is good for that county. See, that's not right.
Well, is there a county effort to elect more freedom-oriented counties? What do you got, commissioners, supervisors?
Yeah, but it depends where you live. Okay, if you're in a high Democrat area or high liberal area, they're going to have liberal commissioners. I am in a very conservative area, so out of our commissioners, I think we have seven, six of them are conservative, and the only one who isn't is in our little town of Port Yorn, which is a very, Democrat liberal town. So, I'm fortunate in my area to be in a conservative group of people, but it's not like that everywhere in Michigan.
Okay, so
and
before,
other states are the same.
Before we run
way.
Out of time, I want to know Michigan going Trump, Biden. What do you think?
Personally, I think it's going to go Trump. I see the energy so much on the Trump side, kind of like what happened with Hillary. Okay? So
Trump. Gary says Trump. Gary Eisen, Michigan State Representative, 81st District. Hopefully, we'll be able to call on you in the future sometime. Something comes up in Michigan. Now we got a guy who knows what's what. You know, do you mind if we call on you again, Gary?
I look forward to it.
So. Yeah, no, this is awesome. thank you for spending time with us. I wish we had the audio thing set right, but you know, it worked out well. I appreciate you guys, you taking the time to come and talk to us and explain it to the people that aren't in Michigan, but it seems to replicate around the country. Same kind of stuff going on. Thank you. Gary Eisen, Michigan State Rep, 81st District, running for re-election. Sounds like you might need him again. I think so. Hey.